It's the Ray Appleton Podcast from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
And do you know how many years this will be of me broadcasting from the fair? Since I've been here at KMJ, my 35th anniversary is coming up on October the 19th, which isn't too far after our 100th anniversary show. And looking at the other two stations I worked for, where we also broadcast at the fair, this will be my 48th year broadcasting from the fair. Missed a few years because of health and COVID and all that. Speaking of health, 48 years broadcasting at the Big Fresno Fair. Whee! The battle of two former friends who live in the same state has intensified, and it is not pretty. Ron DeSantis thinks Donald Trump is a... He said the word, the F word, moron, and is nuts, and has no business running for president again. And he, DeSantis, said he would attack his confidence and his ability to do so head on in public if they are challenging each other. And it looks like that's the way it's going to go. I mean, they were huge allies. We remember back to 2018, DeSantis won an extremely hairline, chinny, chin, chin, narrow victory against the Tallahassee Mayor Andrew Gillum, I think it was. And Donald Trump was widely credited with the support from his campaign to help DeSantis get through the finish line. And this is when DeSantis was a member of the House Freedom Caucus. And this relationship is just fractured as DeSantis' star has grown. Quick footnote on COVID-19 and the CDC. They have dropped the universal mask mandate recommendation for all health care workers. So, yeah, I think it's like everybody that works now is, you know, free of those masks, which, you know, in hindsight are saying didn't work. Yeah, sure. And also, you know what's going on with the big weather in Florida, Caribbean, getting ready for a big hellish hurricane. Again, Governor DeSantis slamming the current president at a press conference yesterday because of no phone call. The remarks from the governor came after Biden, you know, spent the day earlier with phone calls to the mayor of Tampa, the mayor of St. Petersburg, the mayor of Clearwater. Nothing to the governor of the state of Florida, which is typical. I think any other president would have called DeSantis. You know, a reporter asked DeSantis, well, how do you characterize your conversation with the Biden as the hurricane prepares to make landfall and do tremendous damage? And he just would frankly said, I've not spoken to him. We have a great relationship with, you know, FEMA, and they've approved the landfall request, but my phone is open, and I assume that means he's expecting a call from the president of the United States. And I'll say it again. I think any other president would call Ron DeSantis. The feds. Wow. In this particular case, when I'm saying the feds, I'm not talking about the FBI. We'll talk about them in a minute. But I'm talking about the IRS is going to be collecting, you won't believe this number, it's going to be a hike by $1 trillion in a single year. This analysis comes from a tax foundation published last week with the data from the CBO, the Congressional Budget Office, indicating a 23% increase in tax collections between 2021 and 2022. And the government is roughly slated to collect $5 trillion in nominal revenue. That's a $4 trillion increase for the fiscal year 2021. Now, every individual that's an economist will tell you, taxes on income is not good for the economy at all. So what the hell are they doing? They're taxing our income, right? It's not good for the economy. It reduces all incentives to work and save and invest. So again, this president and his administration continue the constant ruination of what was the greatest economy ever in the history of the USA prior to their election. But the collections are projected to reach 20.2%. And that's going to be 22.2% of the GDP. That's the highest level in history. So, I mean, I have a lot to say about this one today. Lord almighty. Now, things are getting very ugly with the GOP and the other feds at the FBI. Republican senators are not liking what they're hearing from the whistleblower on the January the 9th committee. You know? This same whistleblower is saying that the Federal Bureau of Investigation is taking a totally different tack, a totally different approach to this January the 9th stuff. They're putting aside all kinds of present cases on child pornography, child sex slavery, things like that so they can follow up political leads that have to do with the riot in the nation's capital. So the GOP senators want the FBI to come clean, you know, on why they're doing it this way. I mean, talked about it a little bit last week. It's horrible. Horrible. Between that and the IRS, I think I want to go run and hide. What else? Tax collections, I swear. Don't get me started. I have to get started. This whistleblower, I think's done a lot, is really... Yeah, I don't want him to get frozen out of the conversation and become so gun-shy because of what the FBI may be doing in the way of, you know, trying a little bit of retribution on him that we don't know, we won't learn any more that he may have to offer on that. Now, Chinese, they have been allowed to buy farmland right near the North Dakota Air Force Base. We don't do this with our ideological enemies in this country. We don't. The Department of Defense has never done this. And a lot of people want to know why. Remember the other day when I was talking about the youth that ransacked the big convenience store in Philly? 100 of them? Now looking at the tapes, the video through identification and all that, there were 100 people in this gang, and many of them were as young as 10 years old. 10. I'm not a fan of this next person, but I love how she stirs it up. That's the Georgia Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene. She made liberals absolutely crazy when she had an AR-15 gun giveaway. This time, it still involves guns, but something else. She's having a contest because we're going to go hog hunting. She wants you to have a shot for you and a guest to join her in Texas for a good old-fashioned hog hunt. This is the latest online contest. She's been able to realistically tie Democrats in Texas to destroying farmers. Why? Because of the overpopulation of wild pigs, thanks to all of this environmentalism, especially in the southern part of the state. So, quote, we've got skyrocketing inflation, high diesel fuel prices, and Democrats in America, they have a Democratic last policy. Democrats are the only ones destroying the farmers' ability to put food on the table because they're letting the wild hogs go and destroy all the fields. So there. You think Ted Nugent would like something like that? He used to come to California and go pig hunting on the west side. It's a contest I'd probably enter, although I really don't feel like shooting a pig. I might eat one. This is true for so many of you, even me, and I'll explain. 7 out of 10 of you are searching for extra work because the inflation is so bad. I mean, getting back to my wonderful relationship with the IRS, I'm doing exactly that. I'm picking up extra work with voiceover stuff out of state, out of the country. Things I haven't done for 20 years, but I just need to do it to pay back the IRS, which I think I owe them $44,000 or $34,000. You know, geez. Donald Trump, though, speaking of money, he's back in the Forbes 400 with an estimation of what he's worth now. His income has jumped by $700 million to a six-year high of $3.2 billion, making him the 343rd richest person in the USA, according to Forbes. And number 45, the former president, Donald Trump, is warning of the possibility of a third world war over Ukraine and Taiwan. And that's really not all that hard to figure out. The Russians that are fleeing from their home country, I've been talking about them a lot, the White House is offering them asylum for those who are fleeing during this military mobilization. And I'm sure you've heard by now, the U.S. Embassy in Moscow is telling all Americans, if they're residents there, permanently or temporarily, or they're on vacation, get out now. Leave. Leave Russia. They should depart immediately. And Russian men are continuing to flood into Finland, Georgia, Kazakhstan, Mongolia, England, Canada, the USA, wherever they can go to avoid that mobilization. 18 to 65. Unbelievable. And last but not least, I've been talking about fentanyl a lot lately, and it finally happened. We've got a teen that's been charged with murder because he sold fentanyl to another teen, and the teen OD'd and died. This started off the fentanyl attraction when it started coming through the border, like, you know, flowing water. There was a huge blue-collar attraction. Now it's into the white-collar community. And I have to say this. I know a person. I will say this delicately. This person's first name is a title. It's Dr. You fill in the blank. I'm not going to say male, female, nothing. But it's a personal friend. This doctor almost died because of a fentanyl overdose. Somebody I've known a long time. It's scary. Very scary. And we talked about this with a listener, I think, yesterday, and then we got to hit a break. The pipelines. The Nord. Nord 3 and 2, I think it is, or is it 1 and 2? From Russia to Europe. Nord Stream 1, Nord Stream 2. Two big natural gas leaks bubbling up in the Baltic. And everybody seems to agree this is pretty much sabotage. Obviously, it has ties to the war in Ukraine. Who is the main suspect in sabotaging the Russian pipeline? The Russians. Could be a big propaganda move. 490-5858. Lots to do today. Measure C. Mayor Jerry Dyer in the noon hour, about 12:30. He'll be coming into the studio to talk about something that has become kind of a controversial thing on the ballot, and that's Measure Z. C, not Z. That's mine. And if you don't know what Measure C is, we will explain. This is KMJ.
Right now,
the Valley's legendary Ray Appleton.
The Ray Appleton Podcast, KMJNow.com.
Getting back to that segment on Measure C, Jerry Dyer, mayor of Fresno, and Gary Yep, who's the mayor of Kerman, are going to be in to talk this one up. There's a lot of measures you're going to be voting on this ballot coming up in about a month, you know, with the midterms. And I have a feeling when you see that many local things together, usually they all go down. They all crash. People just go, no, 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 no. There's one for Fresno State. There's one for veterans. Measure C, you know. Wild story out of Oakland. It's not the biggest story in the news today, but I was just blown away when I saw this. 47 deputies have lost their guns. 10% of the force. Why? They failed their psych tests. Man, that's the Alameda County Sheriff's Office has stripped 47 deputies, 10% of the force, of their guns and their arrest powers because they failed psychological exams. Bad news. This whole move and the announcement came after the sheriff's office conducted an internal audit of the deputies' psychological examinations from January of 2016 to the present day. And, yeah, example, one letter from the sheriff, Gregory Ahern, notified a deputy, whose name was blacked out on the copy, that the deputy had been graded a D, not suited, in a psychological evaluation under state law, and he just couldn't serve as a peace officer. How did these people get on the force? Or has the psychological testing changed since the bulk of these people signed up to serve the community? You know, the letter said the sheriff's office had previously been operating under some incorrect advice received several years ago from the California Commission on Peace Officer Standards and Training, which said it could hire candidates who receive such a rating. That's why I'm questioning if things changed. But the sheriff said that a deputy can be hired if a second examination declares him or her suitable, and the office intends to schedule, you know, an appointment for such an exam, maybe number two for some of these people. Quote, our intention is to resolve this issue as quickly as possible. I hope, sir. We also intend to have, you know, you return to full duty status once you obtain a suitable finding. We obtain a suitable finding. This is kind of a blanket letter to all 47, I guess, that lost their guns and their arrest powers. So what are they doing? What are they doing? You know, it's hard enough to hire cops. And when you've got 10% of the force that fails a psychological test, in Oakland, which is not the most peaceful place up there in Alameda County, hello, we got problems. We got trouble in River City. And it's not about pool, believe me, if you remember the music, man. Americans need to get out of Russia now. You know why? One of the reasons why they need to get out? If you're a young American man in Russia, you can be drafted. you can be conscripted. Could you imagine being with the family on a little Russian vacation in St. Petersburg and the authorities come grab you? Because, hey, you look to be about 37 in good shape. You're going to go fight in Ukraine. But I'm from Brooklyn. We don't care. Wow. So that's the word from the U.S. Embassy in Moscow, urging all Americans, male, female, of all ages in Russia, get the hell out now, following President Putin's, you know, partial mobilization. That's what it's called now. Quote, Russia may refuse to acknowledge dual nationals in U.S. citizenship and deny their access to U.S. consular assistance and prevent their departure from Russia and conscript these individuals for military service. So the embassy is warning, you know, that the ability to leave Russia has already become increasingly difficult because of the limited, you know, the limited commercial flights and the crowded border checkpoints. Quoting again, those residing or traveling in Russia should depart Russia immediately, while limited commercial travel options remain. Putin's decree, as you know, is to mobilize 300,000 soldiers to go fight in Ukraine. And this has reported in, I'm going to use their term, hundreds of thousands of conscription age men between the ages of 18 and 65 leaving Russia. Hundreds of thousands. They're just flat not going to have enough for this mobilization. Images have surfaced on social media showing packed airports. The Finnish border control check is just like a mad place. Thousands of cars have jammed up the highways in Russia and all of the, you know, getting out border crossings. And these are mostly men, you know, and a lot of young men with their families trying to get out of there. And again, Finland, Georgia, Kazakhstan, Mongolia, Canada, England, the United States of America, where they can now get asylum. They have been flooding into these areas. And again, the White House did announce yesterday, formally, it will accept and give asylum to Russian refugees. And I agree with this. If indeed they are cleared, they're not crooks, they're not spies, we've got to have some good G2 on that. So over a five-day period, Putin has announced the mobilization on September the 21st of some 261,000 men that have already, you know, been grabbed off the streets, apparently, to go fight in Ukraine. And about that same amount, they're estimating now, has already left Russia. And again, the embassy is warning all Americans that the State Department has a limited ability to assist, particularly in areas that are tense. Yeah, politically, we're tense between Moscow and Washington, that's for sure. And this is, you know, it's not been this bad since the Cold War back in the 60s. You know, and I'm reminded, too, to bring this up again, that when the Russians, you know, invaded Kharkiv and Kherson, 2014, when all of that started, and there was active firing of, you know, weapons. I got that text from Devin Nunes while I was in Odessa. Get out! And I did, with his help. It's my third visit there at the time. I'm just amazed. I'm stunned that it's gone this far in this war. And it's because of the ability by the Ukrainians to hold on. They've created this whole thing that's creating, you know, a very uncomfortable Russian population that's leaving, again, hundreds of thousands getting out.
The Ray Appleton Podcast, right now.
Click the podcast page.
KMJNow.com.
It's free.
Now, Ray Appleton.
You know, sometimes in the commercial breaks, Michael and I talk about some of our favorite things. And we like cars. We like cars a lot. And, you know, being a child of the 60s, I've had a lot of Volkswagens. I've had two buses and... seven bugs. First car I got was that I bought was a 63 Volkswagen back in 1966. The first car that I was given, and I should have kept it, was a 1948 Studebaker Champion, the one that looked like the submarine with the submarine nose, you know, my mother's car. I loved it, but I traded it in to get that 63, you know, bug. Have you seen the new Volkswagen bus that's coming out for 2024? It's called the ID Buzz. It's like all electric. First off, I'll always be an Acura guy. Been driving an Acura since 92. I just love the car. Right now, I've got a brand new RDX. It's bright blue. Love it. I'd love it, what Acura has done with their SUVs because they go so damn fast. Drives like a car. It doesn't drive like a truck, a sport truck. But I cannot resist these new Volkswagen vans or buses, better word, for 2024. All electric. Can't get a gas one. And it's called an ID Buzz. And I'm going to put a deposit down on one. I'm just going to do it. Got to have it. Ray, you have enough cars. A phone call or two or three about what's going on with the sheriffs, flunking the psychological exam up in Alameda County. Bill, I'm glad you called on this one. I'm glad somebody called on this one. It's kind of a wild story. Go ahead, sir.
Well, we got it worse here in Fresno County. And let me tell you the story that happened to a friend of mine, an 82-year-old man, last week. He had 60 pot plants in a shed outside his house. Five deputies showed up, crashed through his front gate, got out, and shot the windows out of his house. He was laying on the inside of the house. The glass came in and cut him all up. Then they crashed the door down. They could have opened it. They went in, handcuffed him, and they destroyed his house. They shot everything up, destroyed everything in the house, and they said, "This is to teach you a lesson. We're going to punish you." So the pot plants are out back. And then they drug him outside, and they handcuffed him. He's laying on the floor. "Get up." He couldn't get up because, I don't know, if you're old, you can't get up hardly with your hands in front of you. They drug him outside and threw him in the cop car. And so that's Fresno County needs to clean their crap up, too.
Well, that's one side of the story. Thank you. I'm sure there's another side. I have a hard time believing that any law enforcement agency will take an 82-year-old man, blow up his house, shoot the windows out, throw him on the floor, grab his pot plants and say, "We're going to punish you." So what really happened, Bill? I mean, thank you, man, for calling, but I'm sure there's, more. Major leaks in the two natural gas pipelines connecting Russia and Europe, they were discovered, and they have been deemed acts of sabotage. And the breaks are in the Nord Stream 1 and 2 pipelines, causing the natural gas to bubble up through the Baltic. And if you've ever seen natural gas, that type of stuff, it puts this really sticky, foamy stuff on the surface that's really hard to clean up. The Swedish National Police are saying, "We've established a report that the crime classification is gross sabotage." Seismic monitoring in Sweden, Finland, Norway recorded two explosions Monday near the Danish island of Bjornholm, the largest of which registered about 2.3 on the Richter scale. Again, Bjorn Lund, who's the director of the Swedish National Seismic Network, "There is no doubt this is not an earthquake." Now, the pipelines, major artery for natural gas transport, between Russia and Europe, and they have been a flashpoint, let me use that word, in the economic Cold War over Russia's invasion of Ukraine. So gas transit has been halted over the pipelines for months, with Moscow blaming technical issues, while Europe accused the Kremlin of retaliating against Western sanctions. You got the Polish prime minister joining with the Swedes yesterday in calling these new acts of these leaks an act of sabotage. We can clearly see this is an act of sabotage, an act that probably means the next step up is the escalation of the situation that we are dealing with in Ukraine. The Danish prime minister, Mette Frederiksen, said foul play could not be ruled out. The German government is telling their media that they've got, information, G2 intelligence saying, we confirm, sabotage. This is a targeted attack. Even Russia, who is the number one suspect in the potential pipeline plot, said, "Oh, no, we're not ruling out sabotage either," even though most countries, their intelligence is saying the Russians did it. This is an unprecedented situation that requires an urgent investigation. We are extremely worried by this news. And that's a Kremlin spokesman, our good friend, Dmitry Peskov, back in the news again. So the damage to the pipeline is reportedly so extensive. The German media described it as an explosive drop in pressure. So, not good. The multiple undersea leaks mean neither the pipeline will deliver, you know, any gas to the EU for the coming winter, which is going to be awful for those people. So why would the Russians do that to themselves? You know, I think basically just to end this argument about delivery to the European nations who do not support what they're doing. And also, I mean, they're obviously going to get the United States in there somewhere and play the blame game with them. Wouldn't surprise me at all. At all. McDonald's folklore. I'm not going to do this story now, but coming up a little later, I can tell you, those of you who are fans of the Hamburglar, remember he was removed for all reasons of political correctness. The Hamburglar is back. But for adults only. McDonald's is going to do like a Happy Meal for adults to feature the Hamburglar. But don't expose your kids to the Hamburglar. Don't do it. Long story. He had to be there back when political correctness went nuts. Here in California, there is a libertarian group. My voice is a little rough today because of allergies. They have filed a challenge to Joe Biden's plan for student debt cancellation. Right. Here in California. Calling it an illegal overreach that would increase state tax burdens for some Americans who, you know, want to get their debt forgiven. Now, the lawsuit is believed to be the first targeting Biden's plan. It was filed by the Pacific Legal Foundation, who have been on this program so many times. I haven't talked to them in years, though. And it was filed in the federal court in Indiana, one of the other states that plans to tax any student debt canceled by the Biden plan. Quote, an attorney for Pacific Legal, Kayla Kruckenberg, Congress did not authorize the executive branch to unilaterally cancel student debt. He says it's illegal for the executive branch to create policy. You know, and I said that. When Biden did that, he made law. You cannot give an executive order as the president of the United States through the executive branch that makes law. So this one is not out of the woods. We've heard from both Democratic and Republican members of the House of the Representatives, including the Speaker, saying, no, he can't do that. It's going to take us. Biden's plan, you know, would automatically cancel $20,000 of many people's debt. And a lot of people are looking forward to this. They see it as a great relief. But it's another giveaway. And it's a giveaway that's, you know, as I've said, and I'm no authority, but it's highly illegal. And it's just another battering to the economy. Conservative groups have been threatening to challenge the debt cancellation since Biden first aired the idea, saying, you know, it's legally questionable. It unfairly cancels student debt at the expense of Americans who didn't attend college. One of the main challenges has been finding somebody who faces, you know, personal harm as a result of the Biden plan, giving them, you know, a legal standing on this particular issue to sue. That will happen, I assure you. You know, it's legal justification for debt cancellation. The Biden administration invoked the HEROES Act of 2003, which aimed to provide help for members of the military. The law gives the administration, quote, sweeping authority to reduce or eliminate student debt during a national emergency for those in the military. It's not going to work this time around. I think those of you that have your hopes very high for a little, you know, relief here, you're probably not going to see it, unfortunately. Let's take a quick break. 490-5858, any comments? 800-776-5858. We will be right back on the Ray Appleton Program.
The Ray Appleton Podcast.
It's free.
KMJNow.com.
Ladies and gentle people, I need to correct myself because I gave you bogus information. I told you that Governor DeSantis had not talked with President Biden about the hurricane, and they did talk this morning, late morning phone call. So that has happened. As I said, I think any president would, you know, call a governor of a state that is facing a big disaster like that, and it happened. So procedurally, that was needed to be done, it was done, and I'm sorry I gave you some bogus information. Something that is not bogus because of the inflation. We're still about 8.5% retail inflation, 11% wholesale inflation. And a majority of Americans, in some verbatim stuff here, focus groups, research, they use the word forced. They're being forced to search for extra work as the inflation increases the cost of living. How many people are doing this? We're talking 7 in 10 Americans. And because of recent IRS pressures in my life, I'm picking up, you know, voice stuff. I mean, it's not like working in the salt mines, but just stuff that, you know, I don't want to do. But according to a recent survey, you got 69% of Americans saying that they're actively looking for extra work hours, extra work elsewhere. 68% say they're reevaluating their entire careers. Are you in this position because of the Biden inflation? Do you need to find extra work? Have you found extra work? Are you asking the boss for more hours? 72% of Americans say inflation has impacted how they view their lives and their job. 57% say that they have sought new or additional roles in the past year because of the cost of living ballooning big time. 85% of Americans, 85%, said skyrocketing prices are affecting their spending, their buying habits. During the pandemic, fewer individuals were seeking work, but high inflation is driving a rebound in the labor force participation rates, according to the journal, Wall Street Journal. While workers, you know, they hope to take on some extra work before the holidays and shopping and all of that, employers may not really be as eager to hire due to recession fears and less consumer spending. Ugh. So, while, you know, this is going on, it's causing a lot of emotional pressure for families. And I'll get into that. CNBC is reporting that Walmart is planning on hiring 40,000 workers this holiday season. And you might be thinking, oh, man, that's a lot. No, it's not, because it's drastically down from an average of what they normally hire in the holiday season, which is 150,000 retail workers. But only 40,000 will be hired this year. So it's not a lot. The, you know, this potentially puts 58% of the respondents who say that they're interested in some short-term work in tight spots to get through the holiday season, to get through their lives because of inflation, it puts them in a position that is creating a lot of family tensions. Mom is having to go back to work. But still, then you've got the cost of, you know, babysitting and all that. 65% in the same survey said they would consider opportunities that would go beyond the new year. And about the same amount said that they would consider part-time extra work opportunities 100, 200 miles from their home. Man. Even though a large number of these people surveyed cited, you know, about the same response everywhere in terms of priorities, what they seem to be cutting out the most to afford life, everybody's making adjustments, is food, rather than trying to drive less and just prioritizing what they eat. And that can't be good. So this is a very recent survey. It was conducted with, American workers from every, you know, blue and white collar background. And it's just basically all the same. 7 in 10 Americans are searching for extra work due to specifically inflation. Period. End of statement. And again, quoting Dr. Pinbara, this is all man-made. I said that a couple of times this week. It's not organic. It's not cyclical. It was created by a political administration who just makes it worse and worse and worse. When do you hear this tax story? Trillions being collected, an all-time high for the fiscal year 2021. You know, taxing income, wow, you can't do anything worse to disincentivize investing, saving, than taxing income. What's the first target that Biden is taxing? Income. Now, on the student loan debt, Mark, welcome to KMJ. What's going on?
Hi, can you hear me okay?
Yep.
Hey, sir, thank you so much for bringing this topic up. I've got about $100,000 in student debt between me and my kids. Oof. I went and got my master's. I'm a 31-year Army veteran. I'm headed right now to Camp San Luis Obispo to volunteer. I'm a communications officer, and I'm going to volunteer my time to train soldiers. It's not the National Guard. It's a supporting the National Guard, supporting first responders and interoperability between groups of first responders, the National Guard, and what we call the State Guard. It's a state militia. Anyway, my point is that I'm not for the forgiveness. I want to negotiate, and I will. We've already paid off some of that student debt, and I'm continuing to work with, with my resources. And like you, I'm taking on extra income. I'm Airbnb-ing one of the rooms in my house, and I'm not going to take up any more of your radio time. I just want you to know that just because a person has debt doesn't mean they're looking for a handout to get it fixed. We all accrue debt in America. It's part of the great thing that we can do to make our lives better for whatever reason. And I got my MBA that way, and I've got a small business, and I've got Army retirement, and I will figure it out. And I don't need somebody to forgive my debt. I appreciate it. I mean, I get it.
Wow.
But, I volunteer in schools. I sub-teach about 10 to 15 days a month to make a little extra income. And I'm going to just grow my business. I'm in solar. And I'm just going to grow my business, and we're going to pay this off. But I want to thank you for being transparent about your own tax issue and that you're just going to up your income to pay it off. We don't need forgiveness. We need forgiveness, for sin maybe, but we don't need forgiveness for debt that we accrue on our own, our own time.
All right, Mark, I'm up against the clock, but God bless you, sir, for your military service and everything that you're doing and every word that you said. You're just like a model American human being, and I salute you. God bless you, sir. This is KMJ, hour number two coming up. Great phone call. Yes.
It's the Ray Appleton Podcast from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.